Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Josh and Dell filling in for Joel and Jeremy. I almost said Joel and Blank. Is Jeremy just a blank in my head now? Filling in for Joel and Jeremy on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's time for us to get into BZ Money. Okay, BMAC. Dell and I need help. We need you to explain how BZ Money works. You told me that I wasn't allowed to play around with Joel and Jeremy's money.
Yeah,
that's my favorite thing. I love playing with other people's money.
Yeah, we wanted to do this segment, and they graciously allowed us to do Who Said It coming up later in the show, but they didn't want us to mess with the money that they've already lost this year because they're down on the season, but yet they don't trust us to lose money for them because that's what they would have done.
I can't express to you how little I care about what they want, to be honest with you.
So, how much have they lost?
I don't have the exact total, but they're down at least 150 over the year.
Yeah, there's people in the crowd that are just like making a face like, yeah, it's like the face that my wife gives me whenever I'm like, tonight? And she's like, no, that's what people are giving us right now. Okay, but we're not allowed to play with their fake negative money.
No, we're like, not allowed to play with their money, but like Dell said, we don't really care, so we're doing the segment anyway, but we just won't call it, we're definitely not calling it BZ Money.
Oh, okay,
I just need an explanation
for
the segment.
What do we do?
Basically, we each pick two games against the spread and try to present our case as to why we should bet on it to the other two. If two of the three people want to bet on it, then we bet on that game, and we have to decide how much. And if we're Joel and Jeremy, we lose money on the week.
I don't know what he said.
Okay, so we're essentially betting against the spread in the games that we pick, and then if two out of the three people agree, then we bet our money on that team for that game.
Joel and Jeremy's fake money.
Their fake money that they don't have because they're in the negative.
Okay.
I don't know how that works.
So how are they allowed to bet at all?
I don't know. Okay. I like to think that Jeremy and Joel are just using Monopoly money, and they've just bring
in
like a little box.
Do they get their fake legs broken if they don't pay up?
I think we should introduce our own fake money, and if they try to use our fake money, that we're clearly going to win because I'm real good at this stuff, and we're going to win money, and they can't use our fake money if they try to, then I think we got to send enforcers in. Like Andrew, we got to send Andrew in with a blackjack and make sure they don't touch our money.
I don't think I'm that intimidating.
You're intimidating enough. It's fine. The problem is like, I used to be
intimidating.
They're not that. I used to be way more intimidating until I ate way too many pizzas and cakes, and now I just look like intimidating but soft. Like, it's weird. It's a weird combination of intimidating and soft.
After two kids and a long time working a job you don't like.
Yeah, I look like the guy who, like, just in like 10 more years don't make me angry. That's the kind of that's still a 10-year window that we have to wait for. Okay. So we're going to call this, what should we call this? BZ Money. I get it. The Killer Bees. It's easy money, which is not for them because they keep losing it. Let's just call.
Think for that name.
Yeah, it's probably the most clever name two middle-aged guys could come up with. BZ Money. Yeah, love that. Put Bees and Easy together. What do you think we should name our version of this segment?
You don't want to know.
I mean,
nothing I can say.
I mean, I kind of do, but
you're gonna have to tell
me during the break. Yeah. We'll call that in secret instead. Okay, we're just gonna call this. Let's get as creative as they are. Let's call this JDZ Money.
It's fine.
J for Josh.
I mean,
D for Dell.
I'm not fighting it. It's fine. It's as creative as what they did.
It's as creative as what they did, and at least it's in the same realm as what they did. So we want to pay respects and homage to Jeremy and Joel where they're out. So we got JDZ Money. We're going to do that right now. Okay, Brian, kick us off.
All right, so my first game that I want to present to you guys is I'm taking the Titans -3 at home against the Texans in a game that's supposed to be in the single digits weather-wise. I know the Texans play close games against the Cowboys, the Chiefs in overtime, but we're now entering Derrick Henry Yeti season. It's 8 degrees. Derrick Henry is going to run all through the Texans. They're going to want no part of tackling that man in the snow. And look at the last four games Derrick Henry has had against the Texans. He's over 200 yards with multiple touchdowns in every single game. I know Ryan Tannehill's out, but I don't think it matters. I think Malik Willis runs through him as well, and I think the Titans cover at -3.
I think I'm on board with that. I saw a graphic of Derrick Henry. It's ridiculous. Like 206, 221, 250 the last three games that he's played against the Texans.
Four games in a row over 200 yards.
That's wild. I'm on board with that. I think I'm on board with Titans -3.
Okay.
Now, do we pick one from each of these, or we have to choose one out of all of these?
No, no, we pick as many games as we want. We can certainly take all.
So we're going to win more
money, but it just takes 2 out of 3 votes. So with Josh on board, then that would take us as a yes vote for Titans minus 3. How much do we want to bet on it? Like, I don't know, $5,000? Does that sound
right? Yeah, 5,000 JDZ bucks.
Okay, I think that sounds completely reasonable. All right, Josh, what is your...
Oh, no, it's Dell dollars. Yeah, Dell that's dollars. What they... That's,
I don't want my name
No, I'm sorry. It's happening. I just came up with it. It's Dell dollars. 5,000 Dell dollars is what we're betting.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. See, everybody loves it. The whole crowd loves it. Why would you fight the crowd? We're meta the people.
Because I don't like the crowd.
I love the crowd. I love the crowd here.
Well, call them beard dollars or Josh dollars.
That
whatever
doesn't...
You call
there's
them.
No alliteration there. It makes no
I
sense.
Don't care.
Beard dollars? No.
Beard bucks? Beard bucks?
Beard bucks.
There it
yeah.
is.
Okay,
there it is.
Beard bucks. We're going to have to vote on that. I say Dell dollars.
Yeah,
all right, next one, Brian. Next game.
All right, so my other game, I think the Colts are just going to completely shut it down at this point. I don't think you come back from what happened to them in Minnesota in the biggest comeback in NFL history. The Chargers, they are on the road, but they need this game to get into the playoffs. Colts pass defense hasn't been great lately, and I think Justin Herbert bounces back in a big way from, I mean, he threw 300 yards, but kind of a subpar game this last week. I'm going to take the Chargers to cover at -4.
I've been waiting for the Justin Herbert bounce back all season. As a Dynasty Herbert owner, I've been waiting game after game after game after game.
He did have a big game against Miami a couple weeks ago.
That one big game a couple weeks ago.
One touchdown he threw.
Yeah. It's just, I love Justin Herbert. I'm not as on board with this one. The problem is the Colts are without Jonathan Taylor, too.
I don't think they're going to score there. I mean, they're going to the third quarterback of the season.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, Chargers just de facto, like, they just win. But I'm only betting, okay, I'm fine with Chargers as long as we only bet one Dell dollar or beard buck.
I can go with
yeah.
that.
Okay, yeah, see, Dell dollar, thank you. One Dell dollar for the Chargers is what we're betting. So 5,000 on the Titans, one Dell dollar on the Chargers. I'll go ahead and go to my games. We'll let Dell go last because I feel like he's got some good ones. All right, so I've got Detroit versus Carolina. Detroit is the 2.5-point favorite. I'm going to take Detroit in this one. Look, Carolina's fine, and I know they've got Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback now, and he's been okay, but I just don't trust that Carolina defense. I think the Detroit Lions have looked way better than they have all season. It's interesting to watch how Dan Campbell and all of his grit have led the Lions to where they are in this season. I'm really frustrated by their DeAndre Swift usage, but it's working out for them. They've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams is actually making a little bit of noise. So I think Lions absolutely will cover that 2.5-point spread, I think, pretty handily.
You had me at Sam Darnold. I'm on board. That's really all you need to say.
All right, Dell.
Yeah, I agree with that one. If I was betting mythical money with my name attached.
We are, but we are betting mythical money with your name attached. Yeah,
I'm going to put 40 beard bucks on that one.
We could just switch it up. Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
We're both betting each other's fake currency.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
So we're going to do 40 bucks, 40 whatever dollars.
So we started off with 5,000, we're now down to 40.
Yeah, we're down to 40. We're
going
to
jump
around.
You're betting Brian bucks, $5,000 worth on the Titans, Texans. My first game is I like Atlanta +6.5 at Baltimore, mostly because Baltimore cannot score when Tyler Huntley's playing quarterback in their three games where he has started 10 points, 16, and 3 in their last three games. So do I – like the Falcons aren't great, but do I think they can outscore – they can beat the Falcons by more than a touchdown? No, because I don't know if they can score a touchdown currently with Tyler Huntley. That's why I'm taking the Falcons. And Falcons still in the playoff picture because of how bad the NFC South is.
So bad.
So they still have something to play for. And Baltimore fighting for the life, trying to secure a playoff spot as the Bengals have overtaken them for the NFC, for the AFC North. So I like the Falcons 6.5 against the Ravens.
My concern is Desmond Ridder starting again because he looked awful last week.
He did look awful, but Tyler Allgeier looked great in getting the most of the carries for the Falcons, and that's something that a lot of us from a fantasy perspective have been waiting for all season from Allgeier. Ridder is starting, but let's not act like Mariota. Like, he had good moments, mostly with his legs, but let's not act like he was going to be the difference maker that Atlanta wanted him to be. But I think Dell's point of, like, Baltimore just – I think Mark Andrews is playing hurt. Tyler Huntley can't do anything. I just don't think Baltimore scores, and Tyler Allgeier looked good enough that I think that they can stick with him. So I'm on board with this. We're taking Atlanta to cover.
It's definitely a game that Baltimore wins, but Baltimore just doesn't blow a lot of teams out right now.
All right.
And the Falcons like to run the clock out, so I think they can win this.
I think I'm gonna on this one we bet $400,000 Dell dollars on this one. Yeah,
that. Yeah, that sounds like a very
look, man. Problem. Look, we got empty pockets with this fake money that we're throwing around. $400,000 is what we're betting on the Falcons to cover. I don't feel as great about it now. Okay, my second one, Philadelphia versus Dallas. This is going to be a fun matchup. This is going to be a fun matchup. Dallas is the 4.5-point favorite. I'm picking Dallas to cover. The problem is Hurts may or may not play. We're getting like Nick Sirianni was like, man, Jalen Hurts, he heals faster than the normal human being. Like he's some kind of superhero or something like that.
He hadn't healed fast enough. He is out.
He's for sure out. Okay, good. So he's definitely out. This is why I knew he'd probably be out. This is why I picked the Cowboys to cover by 4.5 points.
Did we see the Cowboys last week?
Yeah.
Against the Jags?
We can talk about Dak. We can have that conversation because those Dak problems, I've got a bone to pick with Shady McCoy. I got a bone to pick.
Yeah,
we got problems.
Segment,
we got problems with all the Dak beef.
I think Gardner Minshew is capable enough as a backup to keep that game.
Get out of here.
Gardner, look, you can lose to the current Jags quarterback, you can lose to the former Jags quarterback.
You can do both. There's no game they can't lose.
Yeah. They should have lost to the Texans. Let's be honest. They have not played well the last couple weeks. Davis Mills can almost beat you but in your building, but Gardner Minshew can't at
Garbage.
Home.
Garbage. Dallas is going to cover this, but I'm voting against me?
I'm voting against.
Y'all are the worst. All right, Dell, your last one.
My final pick is we mentioned Baltimore in the AFC North. Let's go to Cincinnati. They are on the road in New England. New England team trying to recover from one of the worst losses in NFL history. One I enjoyed quite a bit because I am a fan of another AFC East team. But Bengals playing really good football. A New England team reeling. In fact, because the Raiders are the Raiders, that game became a close one, but the Raiders dominated that first half. Credit for New England to fight back. I like Cincinnati here. I don't think it'll be that close.
No, I don't think so either. I think New England's bad right now. Mac Jones is bad. They have no offense. Their offense has just no creativity going for it. Hasn't had it all season, and Joe Burrow looks incredible with the weapons that he's got, especially with Ja'Marr Chase being healthy. The last couple of weeks, I think a 3-point spread is just wild. I think Cincinnati absolutely covers this, so I'm on board.
Make it 3-for-3. The Patriots look like an offense run by Matt Patricia. I'm not betting in their favor. I'll definitely take Cincinnati -3.
So how much do we one? I'm thinking either 1 billion or 1 trillion.
Well, it's beard bucks, so you decide.
I'm gonna bet 150 billion beard bucks on this.
150 million.
150 billion. Yeah. Type all those zeros in. If I don't see this popping up in the rundown live, okay. Well, make sure you put the commas in the right place. All right, 150 billion beard bucks. Watch us just absolutely dominate and own this Beezy money that the Killer Bees have going on. Dell and I making the right picks, but. We talked a lot about the NFL so far in the show. I just think that this has been one of the weirdest seasons the NFL has ever seen, and we're going to pick some of the bigger surprises and bigger busts for us and this weird 2022 NFL season coming up next on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Nick's Place, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Don't worry, today the show is not its own worst enemy because Josh and Dell are in for Jeremy.
You're going to come at me for Paper Tigers and you do that?
Yeah, but I didn't preface it with, that's no pun intended.
Well, it wasn't
the pun.
The pun
was coming and nobody could stop it from coming. Josh and Dell filling in for Joel and Jeremy on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's been weird, and I've been waiting for this season to kind of fix itself almost, but this has been one of the weirder NFL seasons that I've ever experienced as a fan. I think I didn't really start paying attention to NFL football until I was about like 13, 14 years old, right? And in all of those years, I'm not going to age myself right now, but I'm younger than some of the other guys here, so it's cool. In all those years, I don't think I've experienced an NFL season where what we expected to happen was so different from what actually happened throughout the NFL season. And, like, there are two teams that I go back to and I look at that have been, like, or one team especially where we were expecting the New York Giants to be tanking for one of these top quarterbacks. Now, all of a sudden, they have to live in a world where, like, Daniel Jones over the last five games is QB 11 or something like that. And the Giants have been actually pretty good defensively and offensively. Brian Daboll has been a really good hire for them. And it hasn't been as strong. They haven't been as strong these last few weeks as they were at the beginning of the season. And then there's another couple of teams where we expected the Rams to do a little bit more than what they have. The Matthew Stafford's dealing with elbow stuff. Then he's out for the season, and they've gone back and forth between a few different guys. And so this has been one of the weirder NFL seasons for me. And there have been some strange ones. We talked about parity earlier and how there is more parity. But I don't know, between injuries and teams just not doing well, we talked about the NFC South is just awful. I'll out myself. I picked the Saints to go to the NFC Championship game this year. I don't think that that's happening at all. And anyway, maybe, I don't know, but I don't think it's happening. And it's just been a really, really strange season. So what have you thought about the 2022 season?
I think a lot of people's, and we'll get to it a little bit, preconceived notions of what teams were, particularly AFC West, way out of whack.
Yeah.
The assumption was it'd be the best division in football with the quarterbacks attached to those teams, and it's been nothing short of even the Chargers, who are now 8-6 because of what they've done recently, are a team that no one really kind of knows how good they are. Now that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are back, the same offensive issues and how they play football remain. So even those guys being back haven't changed the way Justin Herbert and that offense has run. We know the Broncos have been a disaster.
Yep.
And the Raiders are still fighting to stay alive, but they're a team that's disappointed too. They've blown big leads throughout the year. I think the biggest takeaway for me is the AFC West has been a big disappointment, and people have kind of misevaluated who they thought was going to be good, particularly at quarterbacks. I'll get to my guy since I led into it. The biggest surprise of this NFL season is Geno Smith.
Yeah.
As far as the player.
Yeah,
as far
absolutely.
As the player, Geno Smith was dead in the water. There was talk of the Drew Lock, Geno Smith quarterback battle being the saddest quarterback battle of all time. Certainly the one people cared about the least as far as what would come out of it. And all of a sudden, Geno Smith, things have taken a downturn for that roster overall. Their defense hasn't played as well as it did earlier in the year, at least in the middle of the year.
Yep.
But Geno Smith is still a guy. I don't know. I don't even know what the Pro Bowl is anymore because they're not actually going to play a game. But if he did make the Pro Bowl, because I didn't really check on it, he certainly was a guy who should have been in contention for it. That player in himself, kind of reestablishing himself as an NFL player is my biggest surprise.
Yeah, so the Geno one's fun because we could see flashes of it last year when Russell Wilson got hurt and Geno had to step in. He stepped in that Thursday night game, and then he had a couple of game stretch where he was the starter. And you could see the connection between him and Lockett and him and Metcalf, but it was such a small sample size, you didn't know what it was going to look like if he did win that starting battle. Patrick Mahomes, I just read an article the other day that Patrick Mahomes said that he thinks there's one guy in the NFL that throws a perfect spiral every time, and it was Geno Smith. He was the one guy that he looked at as, like, this guy throws it. The touch that he has on the ball is incredible, and it's interesting to see Geno Smith. And we talked about Zach Wilson earlier, and Brian made fun of Sam Darnold in the last segment too, but we look at these quarterbacks that get drafted by the Jets, and it's interesting to finally see one of them go somewhere else, become a journeyman in the NFL. We didn't think we'd ever see him as a starter again, and now he's finding success in Seattle. Seattle was right up there with the Texans and the Giants. Like, a lot of mock drafts had them drafting a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young, looking to get one of these top quarterbacks, and now it looks like they're set, and Geno Smith looks good, and I think he's earned every bit of money he's going to get.
Yeah, answer my own question. He did make the Pro Bowl this year, so congratulations to Geno.
Ever since I had multiple former NFL pros tell me the Pro Bowl doesn't matter, I just stopped paying attention.
Yeah,
to
I don't watch it. I think it's more of a skill competition starting this year.
Oh yeah.
But the fact for Geno to be considered one of the top three quarterbacks in his own conference, considering where he was, that's a guy the Pro Bowl should matter to, and people should acknowledge what he has done this year, because it was a career that looked pretty much dead until they shipped Russell Wilson out, and all of a sudden, like you mentioned, he's going to be making big money. If Seattle doesn't pay him, which I imagine they will, he'll get it somewhere else.
My biggest surprise for this NFL season, and I don't think this is going to come. Maybe it comes to us comes as a surprise to other people, but it's just the way it's just the way Trevor Lawrence has put the Jaguars on his back this last like 6 or 7 weeks. I think Trevor Lawrence, he looked dead in the water last year at times, and And I was one of the few people, I feel like, that was still a Lawrence believer. I think a lot of people, a lot of Jags fans and a lot of people outside, they were looking at this quarterback class. They were looking at Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. They're like, God, none of these guys were worth it. And I just always had the faith that Trevor Lawrence would be, that talent would finally show through at some point. And then he gets a better coach. He gets a better situation. You know, he doesn't have his coach hanging out with women that aren't his wife at a bar after a game and not going back with the team. Like, that's kind of a problem a bit, I think. And when he doesn't have that, he has a better offensive system to coach that knows how to work with him. Now, all of a sudden, he's looking a lot better. I think it looks like the Jaguars are going to be a problem in the AFC South and in the AFC in general if they can start to put a team around Trevor Lawrence. But that's been one of my biggest surprises this season, is how he's been able to take a roster that I think, you know, it's not it doesn't have the least amount of talent in the NFL, but I think it's relatively devoid of talent, and somehow turned it into a team that might make the playoffs.
They got a lot of guys on offense who are like twos and threes.
Yeah,
they're not any ones anywhere. We'll see what Travis at the end becomes as he gets to the year and gets into his second full healthy year after missing his rookie year because of injury. I got to give a lot of credit to Doug Peterson, just because you can just, yeah, particularly when you look at the next-gen pass chart of Trevor Lawrence, the Cowboy game notwithstanding, you see a lot of times where everything is in within this 0 to 10-yard box,
yeah,
even behind the line of scrimmage sometimes. But the way Doug Peterson, particularly last night, you watch his way of scheming up an offense to get guys open. Like, there was a third and nine where he got Evan Ingram on Sauce Gardner, and
yeah,
Evan Ingram beat him. But there was all this space for Evan Ingram to run into, so he can catch that ball 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and then go run for a first down. There was a lot of that last night.
Yep.
That had a lot to do with the Jets' pass rush. So his ability to make the game easier on Trevor Lawrence is a big thing.
Yeah.
So I want to credit him for what Trevor Lawrence has become. You know, he got the tag of being this generational prospect. Now, the guys in the morning have Greg Cosell on every week, and Greg Cosell kind of pushed back on the generational stuff as far as Trevor Lawrence. Certainly a good prospect, but
yeah,
he didn't see a guy who was like this one in a billion type. But and we saw some of the struggles last year, and you went into why that might have been. But Doug Peterson getting in there, and as they say, an adult in the room and a good offensive mind, has kind of changed the trajectory of what Trevor Lawrence is. I don't know what he will eventually become, but you see him as a quarterback going forward that can at least be a guy who maybe makes some Pro Bowls, whatever,
yep,
that might mean, but can be a quarterback of a team that makes consistent playoff runs.
There's been a couple of plays over the last few weeks that have been the most impressive, but there was one play last night, and I don't really think it turned into much, but there was one play last night where Trevor Lawrence should have been dead in the water. The Jets pass rush, two guys were already in the backfield at him. He just stops on a dime and spins out of it, and then makes a throw and takes a shot, making the throw. It was incomplete, didn't do anything, but the way he spun out of that and was willing to take the contact and stay in there to make the throw, to make it happen, that's just something you just can't teach a lot of quarterbacks. There are a lot of quarterbacks that can't do it the way he's doing it, and his ability to get out of trouble the last few weeks has been one of the more impressive things on these little rollouts, being able to work the pocket, and I think a lot of that is because of Doug Peterson. A lot of Doug Peterson helping him with his pocket presence and saying, hey, last night I think they showed a graphic where his time before release was like 2.2 seconds, and it's the fastest of his entire career, and that's a lot of Doug Peterson too. It's like, hey, make your reads, get the ball out quick, and get it to your playmakers, and he's doing that. What's been your biggest bust so far this year?
I mean, Mr. Unlimited. I think it's easy. I think what Russell Wilson has done or not done in Denver is one of those things where the general manager in that front office goes, oh, no, what have we done? Because there's no way to get out of it. You have to just hope, whether it be you get rid of Nathaniel Hackett or there's just some come to whoever you pray to meeting in the offseason to fix this.
Yeah.
Because they're at least stuck with Russell Wilson. They don't have to be stuck with
right.
Nathaniel Hackett. I think the timeline is the previous ownership hired him, and then when they got the new ownership, Hackett was already there. So they can make a decision. Okay, he's not our guy, so we'll go hire someone else. But the Russell Wilson thing, does that get better? Can that get better?
Right.
Is there a system you can put in place where he will be like, you know what? Yeah, I'll play within the system, because we thought he would get out of Seattle. The whole let Russ cook thing would move to Denver and things would get better. And all of a sudden, we see in Seattle, it was a Russ problem because they inserted Geno Smith and he'll play within a system and just be just fine.
Yeah.
So clearly Russell Wilson and that disaster that is that organization at Denver right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That was my pick too, because he has been, between he and Hackett, it's been just one of the worst experiments we've seen for a team trying to, like a team that was literally last season, we talked about them being a quarterback away. And then they had the mishandling of Javonte Williams before he got injured. Russell Wilson's looked terrible the entire time. So that's mine, too. So that, it's been a weird season. We've had some cool things happen with Geno Smith. We've had some awful things happen, especially with me and Dynasty being a Jonathan Taylor owner. It's been a bit of a rough season. But whatever, we're making it through anyway.
You're making this personal.
Yeah,
like.
Making it a little. No, not. I'm trying not to. Anyway,
I mean, didn't you have a comment about DeAndre Swift? Like an odd look.
Yeah, that's like you know what? My other big bust, Dan Campbell's handling of DeAndre Swift and Jamal
Forget about
Williams.
The fact that the Lions are in playoff position, but the fact that he screwed up your issue with DeAndre Swift.
100,000%. I'm sorry. My money's on the line with DeAndre Swift's usage, not how Dan Campbell
real
is
Real money
successful.
Or beard bucks?
Real money.
Okay.
It's real money this time.
Okay.
Not beard bucks, not fake money. We actually play with real money over in the beard household. Anyway, we are hanging out at Nick's place. Come hang out with us today. We're having some good drinks. Everybody's hanging out. They got a New Year's Eve party coming up on New Year's Eve from 9 to midnight with a buffet, champagne, drink specials, and there's no cover. But we're here until 3 o'clock. Come hang out with us right now. Coming up next, look, it's 2 days before Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. I couldn't do no Christmas stuff. We got Christmas in 2 days. So coming up next, we're going to do a Christmas movie
it's a
draft.
Rough one for me. I don't watch Christmas movies,
see,
so I had to dig
that's
deep.
That's a problem. We're doing a Christmas movie draft coming up next on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
Somebody get me my corncob pipe because we are ready to talk about Christmas movies. There's three things I do, Dell. By the way, Josh and Dell here on The Killer Bees filling in for Joel and Jeremy on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's three things I do. It's talk sports, play video games, and enjoy the 55 days of Christmas. Those are the three things I care about. Why'd you shake your head at that?
Look, I heard you in the break say 55 days of Christmas, and even now, it's... What?
If I could do more, I would, but I at least have to be respectful to some of the other months.
You don't watch Christmas movies every day from November 1st to the end of whatever you're...
No, on. Not every day.
So
how do you watch them at night sometimes.
So how do you incorporate...
Once a day, at least.
So how do you incorporate 55 days of Christmas? Do you do something Christmassy every day starting November 1st?
Oh, yeah. So decorating is the first thing that we do. We start decorating the inside of the house. I put up the Christmas lights. That's kind of a bit of a journey for me. It usually takes me about 2 to 3 weeks to get all the decorations up. I bake a lot of stuff. That's right. If a real men in today's 2022 society know how to bake
You're
Christmas
being very
treats.
Defensive. No one was questioning.
I'm just saying.
No one was
Everybody
questioning
looked
you.
At me. Like six people looked weirdly at me immediately.
Yeah, it was weird that you
okay?
brought that up as a defense. Yeah. Like it
it's because of the looks
about.
That I got. Moving on,
you bake
the 55 the 55 days of Christmas, and we do something Christmassy every single night. We try to watch a movie or a TV show. That new Clauses, the Santa Clauses TV show based off of the Santa Claus Tim Allen movie, pretty incredible. I'd put it up there with Lost.
Incredible,
yeah, incredible. I put it up there with Lost and Tim.
Are you going to watch
Ted Lasso? Yeah,
you going to watch Violent Night?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, Violent Santa Night Claus, is fantastic.
I can't wait to watch it. There's also a Grinch horror movie that's coming out, too, that I want to watch. But I watch everything and consume everything Christmas. So we got 2 days until Christmas comes. And so I felt like we had to do a Christmas movie draft. We do all these drafts for all these other silly little things. Why not do one for the most important time of the year, the Christmas time? And so we're going to do a Christmas movie draft. And because I'm such a nice guy, Dell, I'm allowing you to go first in this draft. I'm giving you the number one overall pick. Are you going to draft Will Levis, the Will Levis of Christmas movies, or are you going to draft Bryce Young?
You know, it's interesting. We each have four picks, and I told you before that I don't watch Christmas movies. So I'm going to have to
Sounds like bad prep.
I'm going to have to dig deep.
Yeah.
And so my first overall pick, I'm going to take an easy, a classic, because the rest of them probably no one else will take.
Right.
So I'm going to take number one overall, Home Alone.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Okay. All right. I didn't think
that would be my first pack.
I didn't really think this through. I didn't think Home Alone was going to go off the board that early. I really wish I had given
you your opponent. Know your opponent.
I hadn't given you the number one overall pick, but there is one movie that's better than Home Alone. And it's a movie in the same franchise that's even better than the first one. You even get to go to New York City. You get to see celebrities in this movie. It's the only one in the franchise that has Tim Curry. You have the Talk Boy. Did anybody else? Am I the only one who? Am I aging myself by saying I owned a Talk Boy?
probably. Back in,
yeah, okay, cool. That makes me feel awesome. I'm taking Home Alone 2 with the number two overall pick.
Man,
it's the better movie
pick.
In the franchise.
It legitimately is, it tells you it's number two.
It is the better
the
of
title
the two.
Of the movie
oh
tells you it's second best.
No, it's the second two. One in the sequence. That's all that means. It is hands down
well, if,
the best one.
If it was better, they would have wrote that script first.
That's you. They improved upon
they
this, a good script that they already
they
had.
They did not.
No, I'm winning
going
this.
To New York.
Josh, I'm winning this.
It was worse.
All right, B-Mac,
Josh,
your turn.
You just took the Ghostbusters 2 of holiday movies. That's an awful thing.
All right, okay.
I'm going to go with one that's debated, whether or not it actually is a Christmas movie, but it'll always be a Christmas movie to me, and I'm going Die Hard with my
friend. See, I didn't know if anybody would go Die Hard, so I was going to wait on that one.
Yeah, I didn't think it would get back to me when we snake around. And so for this next pick, I'm going to go with probably what is my favorite Christmas movie, Christmas Vacation. I just watched that the other night with my family. Still a pretty funny movie, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Christmas Vacation would have been a good one. I think Christmas Vacation is a really hard one. Oh, we're doing a
snake
draft?
Is that
you're,
what
wait,
it is?
You're doing a, you think this is a snake draft?
Not a snake draft.
This isn't a snake draft. You don't make these rules. This is a fantasy football. We're doing real draft
rules. Now giving away your pick.
Yeah, good job, Brian. You don't get
a snake
you don't
draft.
Get to go back-to-back.
Oh, that's
we would have said
off.
Snake draft
take
beforehand.
Yeah.
It obviously isn't.
Yeah, it doesn't say Christmas movie snake draft. It says Christmas movie draft. Good
worst.
Job, loser.
This is your
way to take the L on that one.
This is the spirit you have of the holidays.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, I still want to win. Dell, it's your pick now.
I'm going to go a little sentimental.
Okay.
Because this is the movie me and my mother watch, I think, every year. She still may watch it in her new home in Ormond Beach, Florida. I'm going to go It's a Wonderful Life.
Ooh.
With my second pick overall.
That's a strong pick. I like that one. It's one of my biggest problem with It's a Wonderful Life and like White Christmas and Miracle on 34th Street is all of them are 17 hours long.
They are. It is very long.
Yeah, I feel like you have to block out a whole day to
and
watch
plus,
one of those.
Plus, you only really watch them on network television. I'm not watching.
Yeah.
I'm not look at my streaming service. I don't even know if it is one. So you're always watching it on NBC with the commercials that makes it even longer. But it is a classic. It's the really the only classic on my list. Although, I guess you can call Home Alone a new classic. Wonderful Life.
Yeah, we're
two.
Old enough for it.
Yeah.
I like to feel like...
Yeah.
I like to feel like you're no-selling me right now, and if I went to your place, it's literally just old Christmas. Like, the only DVDs you have are just
There's
old Christmas
There's not a holiday
movies.
Decoration up
It's
in
just
that
a bunch of Jimmy Stewart movies that you have. Just
rear,
all...
Rear Window.
Rear Window. It's a Wonderful Life. There's another one that he's in.
He's got another Christmas movie.
He does,
yeah.
All right. I have second pick of the second round because we're doing the draft the right way, remember. I'm going to take Christmas Vacation because this was going to be my second round pick in the first place. So Christmas Vacation is an absolute classic.
Snake pick away from me. I wasn't motivated by your own greed at all.
Hey, look, man, it's not my fault. You just jumped the gun a little bit too early. But Christmas Vacation, there are no better lines, and there are no better movies except for one that has more quotable lines as a Christmas movie than Christmas Vacation. So my favorite one is anytime anybody says Grace, the word Grace or the name Grace, is I thought Grace died 30 years ago. Great movie. Love it. It's the best of all of the National Lampoon's Vacation movies. That's my number two pick.
Well, after you ruthlessly stole that away from me because you were a
true
Grinch this holiday season,
mm-hmm.
I will go with...
You're the Giants. He's the Mets.
Exactly. What's better than Bill Murray in a Christmas movie? I'm going to go with Scrooge with my
Ooh,
second pick.
That's a strong pick. That's a really good one. I love Scrooge. I always forget about it, too. So Scrooge is your second pick. Back up to Dell. He's taking Home Alone and It's a Wonderful Life. What do you have next?
I'm going to take my favorite Christmas movie, but the one I knew I could wait on. The other ones I'm not sure I could have waited on. Who knows? I'm going to go with Bad Santa.
That was the next. That was my next pick. I knew I should have taken it over Christmas Vacation, or I was going to take it over Christmas Vacation if it hadn't been for Brian divulging his plans. Man, that's a really,
Bernie,
really good one.
Dearly Departed, Bernie Mac was great in it. Obviously,
yep.
Billy Bob Thornton, Lauren Graham in it as well. Before, I don't know, during or after she became Lorelai Gilmore for the Gilmore Girls. I'm not sure.
I think it was after.
After?
Yeah, after.
I guess, hey, new role for
I mean, what's
for
Gilmore
career?
Girls? I don't know what that is.
No, you've already.
I definitely haven't
watched
it.
You've exposed yourself.
Told
it's fine.
You, babe. We know how you
are. I'm actually watching it with my wife and daughter right now.
I'm not hating.
It's fine.
I mean,
it's
I'm in a text thread with someone. Now, I admit it's a woman who loves that show. I mean, she's not someone like you.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Someone like me.
She's not a grown man who spent his life talking about sports. That's
okay.
I mean.
That's
someone
okay.
Who bakes, Josh. Someone who bakes.
But yes, Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
My third pick.
Bad Santa's your third pick. With my third pick, oh, this is going to be tough now. Now I have to rethink my inks and kind of swerve a little bit. I have to go with a classic. I'm going to go a little sentimental here, too. I used to watch this every year with my grandparents, who every Christmas Eve we'd go to their house and we'd watch this movie. I'm going to go with White Christmas with my third pick. I'll go a little old school, a little sentimental as well.
I've seen it a couple times, but it's been a long time.
It used to be based on something else. It was like called Holiday Inn, and then they changed the name of it. I don't know why. But, yeah, White Christmas is a good one. A lot of good songs. A lot of classic Christmas songs come from White Christmas, which is another reason why I love it. All right, Brian, your third pick. Go.
All right. I asked what was better than Bill Murray in a Christmas movie. Maybe the only answer I could give you would be Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Christmas movie. Give me
no!
All the way.
I thought I was so safe waiting on this movie because nobody else likes it, and I'm the only one in the world who loves this movie.
That's what you get for trying to kill me with that snake pick there.
That's awful. All right, that's a great one. Sinbad's really good in that movie too.
Yeah, yeah.
Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger, all star displays in Jingle All the Way. My wife can't stand that movie though, so I have to watch it whenever nobody else is home.
My fourth and final pick.
Okay.
This one's a little tough.
Oh, I see your computer screen. If you take the one that's on your screen, I quit.
I bet you won't know. I bet you're guessing which one I'll take, but you're completely off. I'm going to go with the number 7 on the list, not
Whoa!
Number 6, because I haven't seen The Nightmare Before Christmas more than once.
Wow.
Little Women, I didn't know it was a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But the most recent adaptation, the one with Emma Watson and Florence Pugh, and among others, another one that has some sentimental value, because my mother and I, when I was visiting her in California, we went and watched it. I was like, you know what, Christmas time, let's go see a movie.
Right.
And it was really, really good, and I've seen it a couple times since. I didn't know it was a Christmas movie per se, but they do have a couple Christmas scenes. So I'm taking that one as my number 4.
That's a
because
strong pick.
Because while I'm going after you for Gilmore Girls, I have a soft side too.
Actually, I don't hate you for that pick. That's a really good pick. For my final pick, for my fourth and final pick on my team, I can't believe we've made it this far without anybody picking this movie. And how can we talk about Christmas movies without taking some of the classic animated ones? But I'm not going to take the one everybody thinks I'm going to take. I'm going to take Santa Claus is Coming to Town, because that one is the better of all the... See?
You're getting booed.
I knew I was going to get that reaction. Oh, look. Let me guess. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Boo. Get out of here. Give me Santa Claus any day. He's the one who brings the presents. Let me say this. Santa Claus allowed Rudolph to have a job. Thank you very much. He allowed him to have a job. There would be no Rudolph without him.
He's
so
also
Santa
making
Claus.
Out with your mom, too. So.
Yeah, that's okay. I think my mom did that a lot with other people, so it's fine.
Awesome.
Wow. It's fine. He's not special because of it.
That's little
what?
Information I
family
think we stuff? Get. No.
All right, B-Mac, final pick.
I'm going to finish off my theme. I've got Die Hard. I've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm going to go with a little bit recency bias here and pick Violent Night, which I saw this last week.
Oh,
absolutely fantastic movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm waiting
good.
For the Netflix
I went into
Netflix
it knowing
drop.
I would laugh, thought, think it'd be over the top, but it actually turned out to be a pretty good movie, rated well on Rotten Tomatoes, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, give me Chief Hopper from Stranger Things as Santa Claus murdering people.
Yeah, it's Santa.
I'm all in
it's
on that
story. Santa going
line.
On John Wick on a bunch of terrorists. It's great.
Please tell me he kills somebody with a candy cane.
He does. He legit does.
Yeah,
he has
Let's
to.
Let's go.
Right?
That's like the one thing I
he
needed out of that movie.
He also kills somebody with the star from the top of a tree. It's fantastic.
All right. So you guys can go on to Twitter, onto the ESPN 975 Twitter, and look at the graphic. Go ahead and go vote. Who had the better draft? Is it Dell with Home Alone, It's a Wonderful Life, Bad Santa, and Little Women? Or is it me with Home Alone 2, Christmas Vacation, White Christmas, Santa Claus Coming to Town? Or Brian with Die Hard, Scrooge, Jingle All the Way, and Violent Night? Boo, garbage. Coming up next... We're going to dive into – we already talked about him a little bit, but there's one AFC quarterback that deserves so much more discussion when surrounding the MVP votes, and we're going to talk about who we think should win the NFL MVP this year. We're hanging out at Nick's Place today. Come hang out with us here. Have some good food, some good drinks, and hang out with some good people. This is Josh and Dell filling on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Josh and Dell filling in for Joel and Jeremy today on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We just did our Christmas movie draft before we dive into this MVP discussion. We just did our Christmas movie draft. I already got so many messages about how wrong we were. We didn't pick A Muppet's Christmas Carol, getting in trouble for that.
Why,
one.
Because I'm an adult? I don't like puppets.
The Muppet's Christmas Carol is hilarious, though.
It's fine. I just don't like puppets.
That's fair. My brother-in-law, puppets freak him out, and we went to look at Christmas lights at this big place the other night, and they have tons of elf puppets and elf dolls. Oh, man, I think he was about to lose
his
mind.
Yeah. They bother me. I just don't know what it is.
Wait, is this the brother-in-law I'm familiar with?
Yes, yeah, it is.
Oh, my God, that's an interesting detail. Thank you.
Then my other friend, Brian, not Brian back of the studio behind the glass, but my other friend Brian said A Charlie Brown Christmas. That's a classic. I can't believe that one got left off our list, but I feel pretty strongly. You can go to ESPN 975 on Twitter and check out our Christmas movie draft list and decide which one you think is the best.
What's
one
the appeal
and why it's mine.
What's the appeal of Charlie Brown Christmas? Does it make you laugh? Does it make you feel good?
I think it's like...
I'm just trying to figure out why it should make the list.
It's a nostalgia thing.
Okay.
I think it's a lot of people who grew up on Charlie Brown and grew up real old people grew up on Charlie Brown. They loved watching Charlie Brown Christmas. Like, that's, it's a nostalgia thing, but it's not good compared to other Christmas movies.
Yeah, I want to be entertained.
And now Brian's going to text me and he's going to be like, why would you say that about me? I'm really sorry, dude. If I were talking about our Brian, totally fine with it. But my Brian, I'm sorry. I apologize. But we want to dive into this MVP conversation, and there's one. Obviously, we have, like, when we talk about the MVP discussion, surrounding the MVP discussion, there, that's the usual suspects as of right now in the NFL. We've got Patrick Mahomes, we've got Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa. He was up it there for a while. Now he didn't even make the Pro Bowl. But there's one quarterback, and we talked about him a little bit earlier, that I think is absolutely deserving of being discussed. Not saying he should be the MVP, but I at least think he should be in the discussion, and that's Trevor Lawrence, because of what he's been able to do lately. There was a turning point for Trevor Lawrence this year, and there was one game against the Tennessee Titans where you could just see there was a flip that switched with Trevor Lawrence. He had had one 300-yard game so far this season, but he had zero touchdowns. It was like 54% completion percentage in that game. So you're like, okay, cool, I love the 300 yards, but like, it didn't come efficiently. It wasn't really productive. But then you saw him against the Tennessee Titans, and he just came out guns blazing with Evan Ingram, with Christian Kirk, and you're like, oh, this is the guy that everybody was talking about during the draft. This is the guy we've been waiting to see. And like you said earlier, he's doing it with a bunch of twos and threes. Like, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones have been great this year, but like, they shouldn't be anybody's wide receiver one at all on any other roster. But they are wide receiver one and wide receiver two on this roster, and I think Trevor Lawrence deserves to be in the conversation.
I would slightly disagree there, only because Maybe it's just watching him. I see a lot of Doug Peterson in that. And like, we talked about Doug Peterson and what he's done to any molded Carson Wentz into a potential MVP candidate until he got hurt. Rode Nick Foles to the Super Bowl. When I look at the other quarterbacks who are in the conversation, I don't see the consistent production. Sure, it's come along the last couple weeks, but you know, we all know the MVP is a whole year award. He simply hasn't been that guy.
Right.
And maybe it's something to do with the record being 7-8 and maybe getting fat on some of the AFC South stuff, too. I think he's played well. I just think they're clearly – it's not like you said he should win it. You said
right.
He should be in the conversation. He should be discussed as a guy who should maybe be on at the forefront of that list next year, particularly if the Jags take another step. I think he's fine where he's at as a nice bounce-back year after an atrocious one. Not all his fault, maybe not any of his fault, when Urban Meyer's running the organization. The MVP thing should – let's remember that Trevor Lawrence has played well. I think if that's where we're keeping it, then I agree.
Yeah, that's where it's like, hey, you know, if he had played like this all season, it's more of like a, hey, he's played at an MVP level these last few weeks, but it hasn't been consistent. But is he going to be in the MVP conversation in the coming years? Is this a guy that we could see jump into the realm of a Patrick Mahomes and a Josh Allen? In the last 6 weeks or 7 weeks, he's only had under 70% completion three times, and he's only had under 60% one time. And in that stretch, I think he only has one interception to about like I think it's 12 or 13 touchdowns. It's insane what he's been able to do. The Baltimore game was another one that was really good, too. He had three touchdowns, over 300 yards in that one. And he's just kind of putting this Jags team on his back. And I think BMAC put this in the rundown before the show. It's like, I think that that conversation about Trevor Lawrence, at least at that level, I agree with you, it needs to stay at that level with him in the MVP discussion, but it should at least be there if he's putting this entire Jags team on his back and taking them to the playoffs. If the Jaguars make the playoffs and he's been the catalyst of literally every moment, well, then we at least have to utter his name in the same breath with some of those other guys. But the MVP discussion, I think it's, in my opinion, it starts and stops with Patrick Mahomes. And there's nobody else that should be in consideration, legitimate consideration this year at this point.
Pat Mahomes has always had a number one option, sometimes two number one options, yeah, when you have Tyreek and Travis Kelce. Still has Travis Kelce. You mentioned Josh Allen with Ania Stephon. Get Diggs. Can the Jags go find, yeah, Trevor Lawrence the number one? And that'll certainly elevate who he is, because when you have the number one, we saw what happened to him. Now, Jalen Waddle was a nice young player as a rookie. He goes and gets Tyreek and with – with the offensive system that Mike McDaniel instituted, all of a sudden, you mentioned him being in the MVP conversation for a little bit before their downturn the last couple weeks. So I think a number one option is the next step for the Jags and Trevor Lawrence. Can you find a receiver who tilts the field his way and still, yep, makes those plays to make the job of everyone else easier? We'll see if they can get that done in the next offseason. Wide receivers get traded all the time now. We'll see if one gets disgruntled and wants to go to Jacksonville. But to your MVP conversation, I do think it's Pat Mahomes. I would throw Joe Burrow in there as well.
Yeah.
Because what he's done since they figured out and got their offensive line squared away and they've kind of changed what they've done on offense when Jamar Chase got hurt and now that he's back, they've kind of gradually elevated that offense from being one that simply threw balls, go balls on the outside and hope a guy made a play, threw a slant, hope a guy broke a tackle. They become more diverse in their offense.
Yep.
So I would throw Joe Burrow in the conversation. Apparently that guy doesn't lose to Pat Mahomes. He doesn't. So I guess we remember that as well. And if they have a shot. I mean, it's an outside shot of the number one seed because the Bills have to lose. Maybe I don't know how. They haven't played the Bills, but the Bills have, right, to lose at least one more. I'm not sure how the tiebreakers will play out. Certainly have the tiebreaker against Kansas City, who has to lose one more. But if they're a 13-win team, I would think you would throw Joe Burrow in the mix. But I think if the Chiefs are within a game of the number one seed, and certainly if they get it, I think Pat Mahomes is winning this award anyway. I would just like to throw Joe Burrow in because he's on a heater right now,
yeah,
and that team is as well.
Do you think Tua has played himself out of consideration the last couple of weeks?
I think it's funny. The 49er game was the one where people were looking at it, and he missed some throws that were open. I went back and looked at the All-22 of the Chargers game. That was a Brandon Staley masterclass against Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
Guys just were not open. He probably missed like one or two open guys as far as incompletions, but the rest of the time
the windows were tight.
Yeah, there was just no one. The Dolphins are a team before this last stretch who have tried to take advantage of the middle of the field, 10 to 20 yards down the field, and the 49ers and the Chargers said, we're not going to let you do that. We're,
right,
just going to flood that zone and see if you have a second pitch. Mike McDaniel didn't have a second pitch,
yep,
particularly against the Chargers. Like I said, there are open guys against the 49ers who had just missed some throws. Against the Chargers, he didn't have a second pitch. They started against the Bills running Tyreek Hill on some just running him straight across the field as fast as he can to take advantage of some of the underneath stuff. So they found some ways to open that stuff up. But to answer your question, at 8-6, still have a really, really good shot to make the playoffs. He's not going to win the MVP just because of what Pat Mahomes has done consistently,
right,
and what Joe Burrow has done. But if he finishes the year with like 30 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree with that. And I think the Dolphins, for the most part, it's all you can ask for them to look good in the first year. Mike McDaniel's reign with bringing Tyreek in.
Yeah.
And the ability to have Hill and Waddle run in the middle of the field anytime you want it is just absolutely, absolutely incredible for the Dolphins. Coming up next, we are going to do Who Said It. I have been the Who Said It champion before, and my plan is to take that crown away, and this time I'm not relinquishing it. But we're hanging out at Nick's place. Come hang out, have some drinks, some food, hang out with some good people, and come and meet Dell and I and everybody else that's hanging out here today. It's Josh and Dell on the Killer Bees filling in for Joel and Jeremy on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97, or 92.5.